this morning, some people were complaining about the straits going up too.
Yeah, we're still getting
the plan.
Where? This morning, the morning prayer meeting.
He was there. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear anybody.
You were there.
I know I was there.
Somebody said that the straits have gone on for 48 days.
But I didn't hear anybody say about counting the Omer. Never mind.
Well, I'm talking about Pentecost with the kids, so I may
be
confusing things.
She confuses them.
We've been talking about counting the Omer.
Kids, class.
I got out the Pentecost things, and Gary says, this is May 21st. I said, well, yeah, we were going to go to Pentecost, but we didn't, so I saved them. So we're doing them now.
And the idea of the essential element of Pentecost from the offering standpoint is that a meat offering is offered. Two loaves with leaven. It's some kind of an offering is taking place here. That's going to be offered and it's going to be leavened. What the hell does that mean? It's going to be leavened, but none of it can go on the altar. It's not a sin offering. It's not a trespass offering. It's not a burnt offering. It's not a real peace offering. It's not a real meat offering. Because it's got leaven in it. It's the greatest spiritual lesson that we can ever learn, if we can understand it. Leaven can never be a sweet savor offering. Even though it's commanded in the law. And it's the testimony that even though we are leavened, that we are still offered as the wave offering before God. And that means that even though we're not the burned offering and we're not the meat offering in that context, we are still accepted in spite of the leaven.
I don't know if I understand exactly what you said. When you talk about the leaven offering, is that similar to like what the, you know, our relationship in fellowship? Is that the leavened part of it?
Let's go to Leviticus.
Quick before I get the wrong doctrine.
What is the wave offering again? That's just hold it over there, like.
It's part of the peace offering, remember? But it's a peace offering that doesn't. It's peace offering on leaven.
Yeah.
Remember the vow and the wave offering and the. Remember all those that are, in our, fancy, graphs of offerings that are. All of those are part of the peace offering. The heave and the wave and the vow.
Uh huh.
All part of the peace offering.
What was the symbolism of maybe? This thing before God. Is there anything beyond just holding it up there as an expression of here it is?
There's a whole lot of stuff that
I don't like to talk about it. Weren't they taking the rest of the grave or something, you said, right after?
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear what you said. There's too many people talking.
Weren't they doing that one right after they took Christ from the cross and were taking him to the grave? They went right directly over. Is that the one where that old plot?
Yeah, but that's. Now we're coming. We're 50 days later. We're now at the peak. We're now at the Feast of Pentecost. Okay. The first fruit offering was the offering that was cut down as he was being taken off the, and then it was. Baked in the pan and all that as he was in the grave, and then it was offered to the Lord on the morning of the first fruit as he was being resurrected from the dead.
But
But that's not over here, okay? That's from Passover and the Feast of First Fruits. We're now 50 days later on the Feast of Pentecost.
Talking about leaven.
Is this the only time that they do the wave offering?
No.
Tabernacles?
No, any time that the peace offering is offered, it's heaved and waved. It's a heave offering, a wave offering. I mean, it's
a votive offering.
It's a votive, it's a voluntary offering.
We dug around and studied something about it. It seemed like they said heaving was throwing it up in the air or something like that. Is that not right?
That's not right. What at the core of Gary's question is that Christ for the Nations, they taught that the wave offering was waved in the shape of a cross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was about the only explanation I ever heard.
But that's not its significance.
Yeah.
They may have done that, but that's not its...
Yeah, but it really wasn't in the shape of a cross anyway, because it was this way and this way. So it was two different. It was spiritually, I mean, symbolically what it meant. It probably has many, many means. I'm not saying it's limited.
East, west, north, south.
It's limited. I mean, it goes to all. It's like the faces, you know, the faces are on the beast says that it's all cardinal points. Well, in many ways, this is the same. But the problem here is that we can't really get into this and answer your question fully because we haven't gone to which side of the altar these various things are offered on, and that's incredibly important. Because the peace offering is offered on one side, the meat offering is offered on one side, the burnt offering is offered on one side. I mean, in the side of the altar, in that cardinal point, is germane to your question. But I mean, it would take me the rest of the night, and I don't have my notes here to.
Okay, something you said triggered another thing that it might have, like the commandments. There are certain of them for God, and certain where you give your soul to man.
Probably
implication there, but I don't need to have.
Okay, we don't. My point is, in order to understand that question. You know, for me to answer that question properly, we need to talk about which side of the altar it's offered on. Okay? It's real important, but
it's just, I mean, when you say that, now the sides of the altar, that it's wild. I mean, it goes, this thing just goes deeper and wider.
Yeah, because then now when you read the Psalms and you read the Proverbs and it talks about the cardinal points, and even in Song of Solomon, you can tell which offering it is by which side of the altar, which direction it's talking about.
Yeah.
And so the mystery goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and all we do is see more and more and more of Him.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
I mean, it's forever. Yes. You got to remember, I've been studying this stuff for 20 years, and I haven't even hardly scratched the surface.
Yeah. So what are we studying?
Right now, this very minute, we're going to talk about salt versus leaven, and why, then, is the contrast. You always look for contrasts when you're studying. I mean, exceptions, I should say, not contrasts. Anytime you see something that looks like it doesn't belong, like leaven being included in an offering, you know that there's a humongous mystery in it. You got to understand it or you're going to die. Or you're going to throw the whole thing out. That's what I used to do. I said, God, if you don't reveal this to me, I'm going to throw this whole damn thing out.
Why do you think maybe they made a mistake or something?
No, but you got to play Russian roulette with God. I'm serious.
He likes it.
I mean, and I and you now as teachers, you have to, part of the reason, well, you have to be willing to play Russian roulette. I mean, it's, and Levites.
We're just playing splits
now. All right.
Depends on whether you're a house
or not. This is important for me because since we're in a place now where we don't have notes, we're in Bible study, we don't get a lot of teaching on stealth, regular to where we can take that and run right up and pass it out. So,
we're not the same place.
I know. So we're kind of in a place where we have to get fed. We got to be fed by God to feed our people.
That's right.
And that's part of what I was going through last night, of this new thing that I pray for. Of that taking place so that the people are without.
Just make stuff up. Yeah. Hmm? Just make stuff up.
That's what I've been doing.
I know.
I don't know if this is scriptural or not, but I think. Yeah. He takes the doctrine.
I don't know if we believe this, but it cries for the nation, say so. John teaches on movies.
Fart tapes.
I draw metaphors and words should be revealed differently. Anyway. Jesus Christ. Where are we reading from?
Leviticus 23.
Jim, Jimbo, Jiminator, Jim, Jimosity.
Doing his Pepsi thing.
Doing the Pepsi.
Pepsi cool. Can I put this down? Pepsi generation.
Hey.
Pepsi generation. I didn't know you knew
that. Well, I didn't until I saw it on Saturday Night Live.
We didn't know it either until we saw it.
Verse 15, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. The morrow after the Sabbath is from the Feast of First Fruits. Remember? Boom. Remember, because you couldn't eat any of the, you couldn't eat, you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It should be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. See, there's another thing that we haven't studied that's really kind of fun. I mean, this is real fun, and that's what the meaning of the drink offering is. And there are relationships.
Can't have a meat offering.
It's all, you can't have a meat offering without a drink offering.
We know a lot about the phony drink offerings.
Besides
our version of alcohol, wine, beer, abuses of Satan.
And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, 1 young bullock, 2 rams, they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever. In all your dwellings throughout your generations, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither thou shalt gather any gleaning of thy harvest. And thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God.
Talking about a reef.
Yep. You do what?
Just putting in this reaping right here, you know, it seems...
Well, it's because it's a barley harvest.
So it was related.
Yeah.
Because there's something they would have been doing.
The whole relationship to being to the poor and the needy, and those things being a part of this, I mean, it signifies something that's is not apparent from just the written word.
Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16.
Leviticus even makes that you even get an idea that Leviticus means something.
I just stuck in here.
Thou shalt number unto thee, begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and even the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, and the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen, the place is named there. Now, again, remember the Feast of Pentecost is a public feast. I mean, so that if anybody wants to invite somebody, we just have to know about it. Right?
Well, I'm just waiting until she gets started.
Why is this a public? Where did you get it's a public?
Won't be law.
Because it's the word stranger.
Without any kind of.
The stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. See, by definition, if you're in Israel, you can't be a stranger, a fatherless, or the widow. There's no such thing as a widow in Israel. There's no such thing as a fatherless in Israel. There's no such thing as... You see what I'm saying? So these have to refer to the others that are
right.
And there's no restrictions like there is a peasant.
No, there's no, right.
And strangers.
In Passover, there's one law. He that is not circumcised cannot eat the Passover.
Yeah, it's like this. Like typifies that the seed was shed on
all flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, I mean, it's so important that we see that, to see the details of the law so we know the difference. That. Okay? That's again, symbolically, for the first 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, everybody's invited. On the eighth day. It's with awesome, fearful terror that you're invited.
It's what? Awesome, fearful terror that you're invited?
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you...
Because the closing of the door.
The closing of the door. I mean...
Well, you're only invited if you're in family.
Yeah.
There.
Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, thy Levite, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Well, that's the... The reason I wanted to get 2 points. One is that that all are invited. And two is that this is the only offering in the Torah for which there's leaven. Because there's leaven, that means it won't stand the test of the fire. That's why I can be assured that when we enter into the New Jerusalem when this body of sin and death is destroyed, that our memory of whatever we've experienced in this time and space will be as though we just woke up from a dream, and we'll remember it for a second. And then it'll be gone. We'll only be aware, I don't think we'll be aware of each other as individuals. We'll be aware of each other as a body. And then we'll be aware of the Son and the Father. But all of this garbage that goes on in the name of Christ about what heaven's like, it's just fairy tales by people that don't know the scriptures and don't know the law.
Well, that was the question I asked you. This is where I was getting to about what we consider as fellowship, for our relationship, that, you know, no matter how sweet and how wonderful it is, that will not pass through the fire.
Right.
And that's why you cannot make that. See, people make that an offering, you know, or as a, there's something about...
Yeah, that's why we have to be brutal here. We can't ever let... Because what happens then is it's not really fellowship, it's flesh eating.
Right.
I mean, we've been brutal in bananas lately, and in the morning Bible study, because we've been talking about what happened, what we're still studying, about what happened, what the scenario was like, where in this period of desperation, just before the end came, and there was not one stone left standing upon another. The people ate the flesh of their children, and children ate the flesh of their parents, and you know, all of these horrendous things. Well, if you understand it, that's a picture of what's happening in the world right now. The condition of Israel described when she was between the straits and all of the abominations that were going on and the fire everywhere is a picture of what it is outside right now. And that's why, knowing this, that we don't give any breath to that. We certainly don't eat each other's children. We don't gain sustenance from anybody's flesh. We don't play these stupid sorcery games with words. Smile and just say, I love you. You know, that's just sorcery. It has nothing to do with religion. And we know because...
Well, he's trying to make that an offering to God.
Right.
As though God would accept that kind of sweet sincerity.
That's the honey that won't pass through the fire. And because honey can only exist, so it's passed, I mean, in the sweet, so when it's lukewarm. Anyway, we're still not talking about what I'm talking about. All that was just leading up to something. At Pentecost, 11 cakes were offered to the Lord. Though they were accepted, they could not be burnt as a sweet savor offering. So they weren't. They couldn't be the meat offering or the peat. Remember, in order to what's the significance of sweet savor offerings? And why does it say that over and over and over? Because those are the offerings that are pleasing to God. They're a sweet savor unto God. Anytime it talks about a sweet savor, a sweet fragrance, you know, it has it's not this crap that goes on in the name of religion where somebody says, oh, this isn't this testimony sweet? It's a sweet savor unto the nostrils of God. And he's sitting there and saying, I used to be bad, now. That is about, that's the opposite of what is a sweet savor. Understand? A sweet savor has to be pat, it has to withstand the fire. So I mean, believe it or not, I've had, for all these years of being a bastard, I've had spiritual justification for it.
Did you know that going in?
Sure. I mean, I knew this, what I'm telling you tonight, I knew this 20 years ago.
It's like the sweet savor is a byproduct of the process. I mean, it's nothing, it doesn't have anything to do with anything the offering tries to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's see. I mean, it's completely a byproduct.
There's never a leavened offering made.
Never. So that's the sweet savor offering. Now, even though now this is offered to the Lord in this leavened case, they were not burnt, a sweet savor. No measure of oil poured on this. Remember, we're talking about meat offerings now in this context, or peace offerings, something that's eaten. Remember, the water is significant. Do you guys, I hope you remember this stuff.
I remember.
Water
is symbolic of the Holy Spirit only.
So.
No.
Yeah.
Only in the burnt offering.
I trust you're speaking to some deeper place within me besides my shallow mind.
Okay. Well, it's because the Holy Spirit is the act of cleansing to make us unto God. In the meat offering, which is the type of what we require of man to man, then the symbol of the Holy Spirit is always oil, because oil is the thing that empowers. The Holy Spirit is what empowers us. Now, the lesson here is that in this wonderful mystery, one of the three pilgrimage feasts, a feast that was so important that Paul had to go all over the world and get back to Jerusalem for it. No matter how much oil they poured on the meat offering, I mean on this Pentecost offering, it could not be a burnt offering. So this is the warning to what goes on in the name of the charismatic movement.
You can pour it on the flesh all day long.
You can pour the oil on this perfect offering all day long, and it cannot be accepted of the Father.
I don't know why, but I'm reminded of this TV guy that's got this wild...
Benny Hinn. That's exactly what I was thinking.
And he's got this show where all these people are coming up and he blows on them and they fall out.
Receive the fresh anointing.
You know, and he touches them, or he doesn't even touch them, he just does this, and they people follow him. It's like, what's the purpose? What's the point?
But here's what the danger, and this is why that blithering idiot exists. He exists as a warning to you. You know exactly what I mean.
I don't like that stuff.
You know exactly what I mean. He was raised up for this purpose.
You know, I couldn't sleep the other night. It was like 1 in the morning and I go and turn this guy on.
I mean, I'm serious.
Funny you mentioned. I mean, we were just down here this afternoon, Lee and Barbara and I watching him. I mean, he's never on the TV here. We watched him this afternoon doing what you're talking about.
Okay. There's, and I say this without apology. I say it with perfect confidence that those of you, and I mean, Pam is part of it, you're part of it, there's several others, that have this, you know, it's not bad, but it's wanting the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But this is God's way of warning us to say, no amount of oil in the universe poured on the flesh can be accepted as a burnt offering.
Yeah, still flesh.
It's still flesh.
You know, whenever you said, I hope you guys understand this, I think back on all the things that, you know, what we know and accept about the offerings and stuff. The words were spoken a long time ago, then something began to happen. We begin to live out this process. Then we hear the words, and then it's real.
It's like
that, it's so boom. You're speaking. You know, it's like when you're speaking now. I have the sense that it speaks to a place, you know, inside of me that witnesses it, that agrees with it, and my mind hasn't been fully renewed, or it doesn't even have to be. I know that I live out those things,
right.
And then I have understanding, and it, you know, I feel, you know, and it's like I get a, you know, there's a power, you know, after having that witness, after having lived it out, then hearing the word, and there's this twofold witness on it, that, you know, that's unshakable. Amen. We understand those things about.
Amen. I want the ecstasy of the Holy Spirit more than any man alive. I've tasted it. I've known it for extended periods in aloneness. I want it shared. I want the body to know that ecstasy more than anything in the universe. No amount of oil that we can ever pour on this, even the perfect offering at Pentecost, can be a burden on. You all hear that? And these idiots that are on Channel 58, and they're abundant, are there, and they've been raised up for this purpose.
When we look at it, we know it's ridiculous. We in this room, other than you, know it's ridiculous. Maybe we just don't know, haven't known why. But someplace inside, you just know it's
ridiculous. Yeah, it's just when I saw that, it's
crazy.
I suppose somewhere back in time that would have been attractive, but I'm sure even the power of the Spirit is the.
Yeah, it's not the actual manifestation, not working it, but that's seen in him.
Yeah,
it's the desire for that power that has to be seen.
Right.
As exactly. And emptied of.
Yeah.
Well, what is these two loaves then saying?
The two loaves is saying. The two loaves are saying.
Why two?
Because one is. I believe, I mean, nobody can know. I'll tell you what I believe is all I can tell you about it. I believe the two are the sanctified in Israel and the Gentiles.
Yeah, it's like I knew you were going to say it. So
you got the goosebumps that you use?
Yes.
But it's critical now that once we know this, once we've tasted it, once we've seen it, then God can afford to give us the ecstasy. That's what I want you to know. Once we've seen through and been somewhat cautious, then he can afford to give us the ecstasy, because then we will have, he has given us the toga. He's given us the ring. You understand?
Mm-hmm. You mean we will know that we after the flesh have not arrived.
That's right.
Even having had that wonderful.
That's right, and we will know. We will be faithful stewards of the mystery.
I think that's part of what has continued to bother me deep, deep, deep down inside. It's like, I mean, there were some times at Beverly Hills when I went to Beverly Hills every Sunday, twice a Sunday for 6 months or something like that. And there were some times that were just really wonderful.
Sure.
And I mean, I was. Certainly had my hands up in the air for 2 hours, and it was wonderful. But for all these years now, like, I look around the room, and you know, a couple of you guys, you got your hands up in the air, and I go like this. It's like, and I don't know what the reason for that is. I don't know what the dynamic is, I don't know.
Well, you don't have the dynamic is.
Some kind of an awareness.
The dynamic is simple, is that it's it's a check so that the counterfeit can have no part.
Yeah.
So that when the ecstasy takes place, and I promise you it will be one and all.
There'd be no doubt.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, there'll be no faking it, no pretending, unsureness. There'd be
no unsureness. Yeah, that's the point. There'll be no cautiousness.
Yeah. There'll be nothing here.
No mind trip.
Right.
Yeah, it's so easy to get back into that too. I mean, just the thing of last night, I heard everybody, you know, the waiting is so hard to do sometimes, and to wait and let God do something rather than do something after your image of it is really...
Well, this leavened cake, this cake might be anointed again and again and again and again, but it could never be put on the altar.
Wait, I don't know why it's tying in like this to me. There's something about if you don't have this trying to have this offering and go through it is like trying to eat of the tree of life, you know, without going through the cross. And, yeah. And it's like, you know, because you have to die before you can eat of the tree of life.
You will, by definition, automatically use it for the flesh.
Yeah, I keep thinking, you know, remember about them being spiritualized and trying to do it some other
way. Try to get in the sheepfold some other way. And that's why, I mean, it doesn't take any spiritual giant to understand that I mean, when we're doing this stuff with like Robert Tilton, I mean, there's no question that thing's going to crumble. I mean, it's not a matter of, well, do you have anything on oligarch? I mean, that's not an issue. It's because he's pouring the holy oil, first of all, he's mixing the holy oil incorrectly. Secondly, he's pouring the holy oil on that which is not sanctified. And third, in this metaphor, he is trying to put leaven on the altar.
And
he's selling it. Well, of course, and he's selling it.
What you're saying about, you know, these things is in 1 Corinthians where Paul talks about all these things will pass away. That's part of the idea. It's like until you know that these will pass away, and so they're not, you know, your senses will get excited by all this stuff just by the fact that the Holy Spirit is there. I mean, it's powerful stuff. But we have to know that it's those things will pass away. And it really, all the stuff that happens, you know, all the prophecies and the things that we say is about.
Yeah,
and you know, it has to do with worldly stuff. It's just there to lead us to repentance. Yeah. Only love will continue.
And that's the critical thing, therefore. Yeah. See what I mean? I talk for hours, days, years, and I get nothing.
It's as though I had never heard the scriptures until
You better make the best of this one, Doug. You just better milk it for all you can.
The other is
182. I love this. I'm not passing the fire, but I love it.
Well, the point of it is that if you read 1 Corinthians 13 with knowledge of the law, you know something. You know that love has to pass through the fire.
Yeah.
And therefore, if it passes through the fire, it cannot look like anything that you think it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like the cross. God so gave his only begotten son that you participate in that.
Okay, so, but again, when every time you...
It's invisible.
Yeah, you can't know what it looks like.
That's what it says. It continues, you know, that it's not this, it's not this.
I'm not sure I have enough. I don't have enough love in my heart for Harry. my favorite one was Harry used to get me. He got mad at me and he got his feelings hurt because I said John Bloom was my best friend.
Oh God, yeah.
I mean that one.
I remember that.
I mean our well, since we're bringing up
get
the
Gary,
Dregs,
get Gary.
Should I get Gary?
Yeah.
So when Gary said, "No, I can't," even, that was that's too that's easy. See the crossword.
The crossword.
The crossword. I got that on tape.
It's just like trying to what keeps coming to me about it is you're trying to be the meat offering rather than see the Christ. You know, when you see this, it reminds you that Christ is the meat offering. You're not gonna be unleavened. You're not gonna be the meat offering. You can't.
Okay, this is the greatest lesson there is for those who are looking to the Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit rather than to Christ as their grounds for acceptance. The fruit of the Spirit. Even those who are looking for the fruit of the Spirit as their grounds for acceptance are missing the mystery. Even those that are looking for the gifts of the Spirit as their grounds for acceptance are missing the mystery. This is a deep, deep truth that's can be totally freeing in you if you dare. And it can permit the fruit and the gifts to operate.
It's almost like anything that any it's like those things of the Spirit are sort of observable. And it's like that it's that it has to do with would there be an observable thing by which you could say this one shall ascend, or this one shall descend? And no, the answer is no. Definitely.
Yeah, the Spirit's power and its greatest operation, its greatest manifestation, will never, ever, ever destroy the works of the flesh. It can't. So those of you who are looking for improvement, then if you're anytime you're looking for improvement, or change in your present condition, it's the indicator that you're deceivable.
Yeah.
You understand?
When you say, sir, that's different than the convicting, what is it, the three things convict the world of sin?
Sin of righteousness and of judgment. Yeah. That's
the conviction
not
doesn't destroy it, it just reveals the works of the flesh for what they are.
It's like saying, do something to you rather than show.
It causes repentance.
Yeah.
But if you think, if see, this is where Harry always gets caught in this trap because he thinks he's supposed to change.
But I'm starting to understand this. I'm starting to understand. It's because the prayer of one is, God, do something to me. Make me different. Make me better. Change me. Keep me from doing this. That's the prayer. Do, as an outside force, exert and cause some altered state, as opposed to just let me see, show me.
Yeah, and one says the cross was sufficient. The other says the cross was not sufficient. One says I am content in whatsoever state I find myself. The other says, in great sincerity, I need more from you, God. I need a different revelation of you.
Yeah.
And sincerity always kind of thinks it's justified.
Oh, it's so religious.
Yeah, it just something about it.
Oh, I just need to change.
Well, God, this is something weird. I mean, it's like almost like wanting the Holy Spirit to usurp the Son.
Sure.
And change. Totally, yeah, totally, yeah. And, you know, come over His finished work in crucifixion and say, oh, that's, I remember one time when I got to a place and said, you know, God's going to have to make me. Something. I don't know if you remember that, but it was like, that's what I wanted. It was the same place Harry's talking about, and about not violating will. I mean, that's.
But yeah, I mean, everybody.
Put it that way, because it.
Yeah, at the risk of quoting a movie, I remember in Oh God, George Burns is in court, right? And he's saying. He said something. George Burns plays God. And he says, I don't make little girls pee all over the carpet. I don't work that way. You remember that?
Yeah, it's like, I'm
talking
about the exercise.
God, no, God was saying that I don't I don't overwhelm people. I don't do things like that. I don't make little girls throw up and pee all over the carpet to exhibit myself.
Well, he won't overpower Nebuchadnezzar.
Well, he won't. He doesn't. Again, it's back to this thing about what does obedience mean? Obedience means that you have really tried everything else.
Fed up.
Well, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It can't change. The flesh is still in Paul after he'd been caught up to paradise. Therefore, he needs the thorn in the flesh. It can't change, and don't, I mean, to...
You can see how this one error, I mean, it's like it begins with a, you know, search for spiritual prosperity, but I mean, it's like it inevitably leads all the way to Tilton's theology. I mean, if you start trying to get God to change you, that's really the beginning, and it goes all the way.
Well, I mean, that's why, you know, when we've seen it over and over, we see and we know. I mean, I have no doubt the power of the flesh in us may be controlled for a brief period of time. Its energy restrained or weakened for a brief period of time. But the leaven is still there hiding, and it'll wait patiently for its opportunity to rise. That's going to happen.
No replacement of seeing.
That's why you are the salt of the earth. That's why what we say and speak must have that component of eternity. It's the contrast of leaven. See, that's why leaven and salt are the honey and frankincense are the opposites. Leaven and salt are the opposites.
Movie, you know, The Stranger Among Us. You know, that I was just thinking about those people, you know, they study and they study and they study and they study and they study some more and they know everything. And just one thing that, you know, we could blow their minds in a million different ways just with
this
one thing, you know, one statement.
Oh, he did.
It seems that the easiest person in the world to speak the gospel to would be a sitting rabbi, because they would have the most knowledge of the law. It seems it.
No, but Offshire, I used to think the easiest one would be the old people, but then I was wrong about that one too. No, the easiest to speak the gospel to are the ones that are in rebellion.
What about Offshire?
That's pretty cool.
I said one thing to him, and I can't remember what it was, but it just blew his mind. What was it?
I don't know, but he's so bright, it's scary. I watch these shows again. He's something else.
Oh, yeah.
You should see what J.C. Joyce.
Was this guy you were on the show with, right?
Yeah, Paige Patterson just took Joyce apart.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You gotta watch it.
What was it? No, it was this thing. Oh, yeah. That Christianity and Judaism are the same. They're both waiting for Messiah to come.
Oh, yeah. That was what he said that I could come over and visit.
Yeah,
of course, he hasn't done it, but he said he
would. That's good.
Yeah. Paige Patterson, he's doing his ashes time. Now they send him off to this seminary.
You should see what
you're doing. But what I'm saying is he's like, you know, they've gotten rid of him. Because
yeah.
It's like they used him for to be the tool to get in, and now they've sent him off, shut him up to this little seminary that's lost its accreditation.
Oh, it did lose? I didn't know that.
Well, it was, you know, it's in turmoil about the accreditation. Yeah, I mean, it was like in suspension or whatever they call it. So.
Was that the town hall stuff?
Well, that's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. Offerings are good.
Sometimes you just, you hear it and it's like, there's so much going on and I don't have words, and so I stumble to try and describe all the things that seem to be tying together inside of me, and they're like pictures. Mm. They come together so fast that I try and put a word on a train going by, you can't do it. You can't even grab hold of it. Sometimes it's like, and then it's gone.
But the
and
secret,
you can't even remember what it looks like, but it was there.
Yeah, but the secret is that don't try to apprehend it. Let it apprehend you.
Yeah,
I felt it when I tried to describe it, that it was like trying to talk about something before it was time in me.
Well, it's just the thing you always have to come back to is that if it puts you in any other position other than total rest and total peace, then either there's repentance required or you heard wrong. So,
what you were just saying put me in remembrance of the description of how the tabernacle reared itself, and all Moses had to do was say yes at 18 points or whatever it was. But what you just said made me think of that there's all this stuff that goes on for days or weeks or years that doesn't seem to have anything to do with anything else. But when the time's right, one word is said and a million things tie together.
Yeah, that's what was happening earlier tonight. It was like suddenly, you know, scriptures from all over the place were just coming into the focus.
That's right. I haven't talked to Chosana or Doug yet, but... Huh?
We're fired.
No, not both of you, just one of you.
What's Chosana?
Which one? That would be...
But I want as part of what we talked about last night in the prayer stuff, is I want us to start encouraging this prayer between the married folks and the kids. But the way I want to do it is I want the kids to shame everybody. And so I want the kids, the first thing right after is to learn the Amida, the 18 prayers, and memorize them. That's what the daily prayers. And these were said, I mean, I promise you, these 18 prayers were said at the time of Christ. And the Lord's Prayer is not something new. If it's interesting, it's His interpretation of the Amida, mm-hmm. And I'll show that to you, and it just blows you away because then you get the fullness. It's like putting flesh on the stick man.
Yeah. Like seeing the Seder instead of just the,
huh?
It's like seeing the whole Seder meal instead of just the communion.
Yeah, yeah. So. But we'll use the kids to embarrass everybody because we'll have them learn by heart the Amida.
Yes, I believe they can do it. Yeah.
They can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After hearing Jesus,
yeah. Oh yeah, that last thing was just great. Okay. Anybody have anything? Yeah,
you mentioned the Stranger Among Us. Mm-hmm. Anybody hadn't seen that? Well, I recommend it. It's good. But the scenes of the Seder. Meal on that. My reaction, I had several reactions to it. It was really neat, but one of my big reactions was one of guilt. Because usually I am grousing within myself all the work on Sunday and how much trouble it is.
And
there's this wonderful sequence where they show everybody preparing for the Seder. And it's the high point of the week and everybody's enjoying the work. It's the togetherness of the work and all that stuff. And it really made me feel sort of ashamed for being such an ass.
But it didn't last very long.
No, it's
still there. What happened to these loaves? Did somebody eat them? Or?
Precede. I just bet you that's what that was. God showing that these two things, they came out of the same, you know, same,
yeah,
separate
the same
for a while,
the
and then they're going to wind up in the same place.
Yeah.
You just appear to be separate for a while.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I've heard you say 100,000 times you can't make a mistake, and I've never understood what mistake means. I've always thought mistake means being corrected or embarrassed, or it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you can't do anything against the truth. There's no waste. So that thing that I do that ends up being corrected or ridiculed or whatever is not against the truth, and it's not a waste of action. It's not a waste of anything. That's what mistake means. It's not a misstep.
Yeah. And in fact, has nothing to do with you.
I just heard that for the first time.
And in fact, has nothing to do with you. Exactly. If you belong to God, then you don't even exist.
You can't make.
Well, it's the same thing that the reason about governments. He's our resident example. That governments are not an enemy to the truth or to the good.
Just the evil
works. The evil works are self-seeking works.